Today is Wednesday, April 10th, 2024. And this is Quick Start from CBN News. I'm Dan Andros. What does the Bible say about abortion? Well, Whoopi Goldberg had some controversial thoughts that went viral on that. We'll have that top story and more on today's podcast, where we bring you news from a Christian perspective. Don't forget to subscribe and leave a rating. You can also email us. We'd love to hear from you. QuickStartPodcast@CBN.org. Joining me now to get through the news of the cray on this Wednesday edition of the podcast is Billy Hallowell. And Billy, as I mentioned at the top here, Whoopi Goldberg, she lit another controversy.
She did. And, you know, this one's interesting. She had a lot to say about abortion and the Ten Commandments. So we'll get into that.
Always interesting to hear where the secular world stands and on our views as Christians. So we're looking forward to the details on that. On the main thing, caught up with Ken Ham from Answers in Genesis, the Ark Encounter. And he's talking about a curriculum he has because of the need that's out there and the low numbers of people who have a biblical worldview. So look forward to that conversation with Trey and Ken Ham coming up on the main thing. And don't forget, before we get to the news in 90 here, to subscribe to all of our CBN News podcasts, including DC Debrief with John Stolness and Newsmakers with Billy. Make sure you get those in the link here. The description to this podcast has the link to those podcasts. So go ahead and subscribe. Make sure you're checking out all the good stuff from those podcasts. All right, we're going to head over to the news here in 90 seconds. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu announced earlier this week that a date has been set to invade Rafah. That's Hamas's last stronghold. The prime minister insists Israel won't accept a ceasefire deal that prevents such an invasion and the achievement of total victory over Hamas. In his statement, he said, "We're working all the time to achieve our goals, primarily the release of all our hostages and achieving a complete victory over Hamas, and this victory requires entry into Rafah and the elimination of terrorist battalions there. It will happen. There is a date." In a viral social media video about a $25 McDonald's quote-unquote deal recently sparked an online debate about California's minimum wage increase. There was a user on TikTok who posted the video of a drive-thru of a Southern California McDonald's location where she saw a sign for a 40-piece chicken McNugget meal deal, which also had two large fries, and the price of the meal bundle was $25.39, including sales tax, and it would come to roughly $27. And CBN News chief political analyst David Brody sat down with Speaker of the House Mike Johnson yesterday for an exclusive interview that airs today on today's episode of the 700 Club. Don't miss that. All right, those are just some of today's top headlines. You can check out those stories and more over at cbnnews.com. All right, Billy. So we got to talk about this McDonald's meal. And McDonald's responded by saying that individual franchisees set prices by restaurant and that that's not reflective of most McDonald's restaurants around the country, which is probably technically true, but I think very much an indication of this minimum wage hike that went from $16 to $20. And people have said it all along that if you keep doing that, guess what's going to happen to the price? It's going to be passed on to consumers. And so this one McDonald's in California has a ridiculously high price. But it's not just this one instance. That's an exaggerated example of what's going on around the country. I just have to hop on my soapbox for a minute here, Billy. My family and I went to Sight and Sound this week, and that is phenomenal, by the way. Phenomenal place. If you ever get the chance to go to it, it is awesome. And right now they are in the midst of Daniel. And it's the first time I've seen it. It's really great. Phenomenal production, as always, from the people at Sight and Sound in out near Lancaster, PA. So that aside, on our way back, we stopped for some food. My family and I have four kids. We went to Subway and got some sandwiches. They were great. But I honestly did a double take at the price tag, Billy, and I actually it was so uncomfortable, I didn't look at it again. So I'm going to have to go to my bank statement to confirm this. But I kid you not, for some subs at Subway, and I tipped the person because it wasn't that busy there and I felt bad. So I'm like, oh, I'll put a tip on there. She made all of our sandwiches. $77.
It's
$77 for, and we have six in our family, and my wife and my daughter split a meal. So that was for five meals, $70. And then I put a $7 tip on it. So $77.
I mean, I wish I could say I'm surprised. It's horrifying though. I mean, when you ask this question of like, how are people making it, right? I mean, like here's a family going to Subway, McDonald's, Subway. There's a reason these were fast food joints. Now they've become the price of like decent restaurants, right? I mean, you order a pizza, you get, even, you know, here in New York, if we order pizza and like wings and just like what would have been $25, $30, that is $70 now.
Yeah.
You know, it is absolutely wild. But the fact that you went to Subway and went bankrupt is unbelievable.
It is. And, you know, look, one meal is not going to kill me. But when you extrapolate this over and over again for all your groceries, anytime you go out to eat, it's unbelievable. And people have to be feeling this pain. And right now, how this plays out in the election will be very interesting, because right now President Biden has sort of tried to, they've taken the route of trying to spin how great the economy is, and everyone else is out here trying to buy food. And so it's going to be interesting to see if that, how that resonates with people and what ends up happening. If Biden indeed gets blamed for that kind of at the voting booth, or if it just kind of gets put somewhere else in people's minds and it doesn't affect their votes. It'll be very interesting to see for sure.
Well, you know, and here's the thing that actually I think is sort of sad about this. You know, even if they come up with some sort of explanation of how this is Trump's fault or somebody else's fault, even though he's been president for, you know, over 3 years now,
yeah,
Biden, I think that the hardest piece of this for me is the continued denial of what people are going through. You know, that is the part I wish that politics weren't so pervasive, that when something like this is happening and people are struggling and suffering, you know, because they can make the argument, oh, it's COVID, even, and then you could fight about who created the COVID policies that led us here. But at any rate, to continue to deny that people can't afford. Right, right. That's the part that I think is actually really just horrible.
Right. Yeah. Well, because that's what I'm saying at the voting booth, because people, they want that in a politician. You want to echo what people are feeling. It's called being in touch. You've heard that a lot, I'm sure. Are they in touch with the American voter? And instead we see right now President Biden going around on all of the talk shows, the late night talk shows, and he's making the rounds there. It really feels disconnected. And you have to imagine somebody who's, I mean, we're all feeling the pain, but somebody who really can't pay their bills because of all this must be furious to have somebody say, you know what, things are great out here. And meanwhile, you're looking at your bank and your savings going down and you're like, I didn't change anything and all my money's going away. And then have somebody telling you it's no big deal and everything's great. That doesn't seem like it's going to land well.
No. I mean, look, we, like so many other families, we've sat down and looked at everything to be like, okay, what exactly is going on here? Because you look at your bank account and you look at, nothing's changed. In fact, we've pulled back on things. And I think a lot of Americans are feeling that. And so to not have somebody, as you were saying, be in touch. And actually, I think that goes a long way, being in touch, even if you're going to take some heat for where things are. But the fact that there's no acknowledgement of it, it's as though everybody just is being treated like they're crazy, like they're making it up. Oh, you're imagining
right.
This. The economy is wonderful. No, it's not. It's not been good.
Don't believe your lying eyes out there, Americans. Everything is great. Nothing to see here. So just a little anecdote about that. And I'd be interested to hear from you. Email us, quickstartpodcast@cbn.org. How are you feeling on the prices of things? Are you frustrated? Are you struggling because of that? I mean, I think everyone's feeling the pain. I know I am. And Billy, you said you guys are shifting some things too. I mean, everybody is. So I would love to hear from you on that. All right. We are going to head over to the focus story now. And as we mentioned at the top, Whoopi Goldberg had some head-scratching comments about abortion this week on The View. So what's the story here?
You know, I mean, sometimes I have to wonder if The View is just the Babylon Bee, because I mean, this week in particular, but a number of things. But so Whoopi Goldberg was defending abortion rights. They were talking obviously about Trump and his position. And she started talking about the obligation. You know, she said, no one is obligated to have an abortion. She said, you never have to have one. And I hope no one ever has to have one. She kept using that language, have to have one, need to have one. And she said, I want to make sure that if you decide this is what you need to do, I'm going to get behind you because I don't know your life. And if you say this is what you need, that's what I'm going to do. And so we'll start there because, yeah, and look, there are rare situations, medical conditions. There are times that things might happen and people will debate about those. And that's obviously a big debate even in the pro-life community. But this idea that people might just want or need to do this is a little strange.
Yeah, and also my first question when I hear that is, and she says, I hope no one has to have one. Well, why is that? Why? Why do you hope no one has to have them? If you just answer that question, maybe that would illuminate your eyes, Whoopi, to why people are against abortion, especially in the Christian community, because it's the ending of an innocent life. And the language gets so muddied that you're acting like as if there's some sacred right that people have to this. But it's funny because, I mean, sad, but it's ironic funny that they kind of have this sense to say, these people who are pro-abortion have the sense to say, well, we don't want you really doing this. We just don't want it to happen. Like, why? If it's not a big deal, if it's not the taking of a human life, then why not just have it on demand? I think some people have realized this and they're arguing and they've tried to make it okay to have abortion on demand and they've tried to make it no big deal. But you can see that instinct is to say, well, we don't want people having that because they know deep down what it is. But it's interesting too what Whoopi said here about the Ten Commandments and abortion, that was another angle to this. So what'd she say?
Yeah, and that's probably the biggest angle to this. And one more little bit here before we get to that. She also said, you know, 50 weeks, 75,000 weeks, whatever how many weeks, it's nobody's business. So that, I mean, that was actually pretty alarming too. It's like, I don't care if it's 9 months. But so the situation becomes interesting, and this is what got the most attention on this segment, because God was brought in. Goldberg said, you, your doctor, and God, that's who this is all between. And I always think it's interesting when they start bringing God in. And then she says that abortion isn't, quote, mentioned in the Big Ten. And you can hear Joy Behar say the Ten Commandments. And she says, yes. And then she goes into a lecture about God's rules and regulations. And this is what's so interesting. And this is actually dangerous about people who understand, they see what the Bible says, but they don't believe it. Because here's what she says. She says, God was pretty clear. Here's the stuff that will make your life better on earth. And she goes on to talk about commandments around lying and adultery. So she starts talking about the Ten Commandments. And then her fellow co-host, Sunny Hostin, she steps in and she says, well, evangelical Christians, some of them would say thou shalt not kill would include abortion. And so here's what Goldberg says. She says, here's the thing. I think thou shalt not kill cannot be used as the block because we allow wars all the time. The Crusades were about all these things. So there's some conversation to be had there. So either thou shalt not kill is for everybody and everything, or we have to talk about all the things that you and I need to do. I don't even know what she means at the end there, but basically because there are wars, and then of course Sunny brings up guns, and I mean, it's just bizarre. But this idea that she just gets to choose that thou shalt not kill doesn't include abortion because other bad things happen in life.
Yeah, and it's unbelievable. And again, obviously there's a difference. I mean, to have to go back to the Crusades, by the way, is kind of an indication maybe your argument is not on solid ground. But to say that about the wars and other killings, obviously this is not a well thought out position, as there are different instances in which killing is not just murder. It's not just out and out murder one or murder two. Sometimes there's self-defense. And a lot of times wars, I mean, I'm not sitting here trying to justify every single war that's ever happened, but that's usually kind of a reason for war. Is you're defending somebody. I mean, look at World War II, for example. You had a Holocaust happening with millions of Jews getting gassed So having to go in there and stop that is clearly a just, I don't think there would be a lot of people who would argue that that wasn't a just war. Now, it's horrible and death is horrible, but in war, but it's justified. So there are times where killing is justified, is my point, and she didn't even broach that part of the argument, but I'm not surprised on The View. But did she add anything on why, on her reasoning for why she doesn't believe abortion's covered under the Ten Commandments?
No, I mean, that's the thing. And I'm glad you asked. There's no real addition to explain it. I mean, just this idea that, you know, because these other bad things happen, that you just can't throw it under there. I mean, the reality here is when there is an abortion that is had, you are ending the heartbeat of another living life. There's no world in which that is not killing something that's alive, and not just something, but a human being. So no, I thought it was absolutely bizarre. And I find it incredible that this show that actually started out with some well thought out arguments years ago when The View first came has descended into this thing that includes just really often insane commentary or commentary that's not well thought out, and nobody challenges it. So no, she didn't offer any other, at least from the clips that I've seen, there was nothing else offered. And so this obviously got a lot of attention because it's so bizarre. And by the way, you know, Sunny Hostin stepping in and saying, well, some evangelical Christians would say this, that was really the only pushback that I heard in this conversation.
Yeah. And so you're not, I mean, it's sad that people still, I mean, it's like they know they're going to get claps too for these things. And it's like, you're obviously playing to an audience here that is a very biased audience. It's not even, I mean, not even close. You don't get any reaction at all. And I remember a couple years ago this is more than a couple years ago now, but when Mitt Romney was running against former President Obama, and they had each first lady on, Ann Romney and Michelle Obama. And when Michelle Obama came on, they had like this happy music and they were all standing up and standing ovation. And then when Ann Romney came on, it was very solemn. She came out very quiet. And then when she sat down, they were like, so your husband's views on abortion. And they just went right into this really heavy topic, like no, just happy, you know, nice, friendly conversation. Just an indication of where this show is at. I mean, it's just hyper biased. So I don't even know anyone who watches it at this point, but they do go viral a lot with some of the things they say. And
This is why.
It's insane. It's frustrating. I will say it's frustrating when people strawman Christian views. So that's, I mean, Whoopi is clearly not a Christian and clearly has not engaged in any serious thought on Christian views. And so it's frustrating that somebody with this amount of a platform presents your views in this way. And it's just not even close to what Christians actually think, especially serious thinking Christians who have obviously thought these issues. I don't know about you, Billy, but I'm kind of the mind of like, all right, well, I've thought of these things. I've thought these issues. I've looked at the people who have the best thoughts on these issues and I've watched what they've had to say. Like, she clearly hasn't done that. And that's what's frustrating.
Yeah, it's actually beyond frustrating. And I think it's sad. And this is why the country is so impacted by the media, because this is 90% of what people are seeing, unless they're watching certain specific outlets. Yeah. This is what's being pushed to them. And I think we just need to continue to call it out and speak the truth and explain to people that not only is, I mean, anybody with a brain should hear this and say, this does not sound right, even if they disagree with what the Bible says.
Yep. Yep. 100%. 100%. Well, appreciate you bringing it to the podcast today, Billy, so we can get a look at what some people are saying about our beliefs, and so that we can at least be thinking about a response if it comes up in our neck of the woods. So appreciate that. And we are going to head on over to the main thing now. And Answers in Genesis founder Ken Ham joined Trey on the latest episode of Faith Versus Culture to talk about why it's critical that we as Christians understand our faith. And he also shared details about AIG's new educational curriculum for teaching kids how to have a foundational understanding of the world through a biblical lens. You can check out the full episode of Faith Versus Culture with Ken Ham on the CBN News YouTube channel. And a portion of that conversation is today's main thing.
Ken, we're here to talk about a new curriculum that Answers in Genesis is developing. But before we get into that, talk a little bit about, for people who might not know you, your background and why Answers in Genesis, which is really an apologetics organization and apologetics ministry, why this was something that was personally important to you.
Well, I'm originally from Australia. I hope you can tell that by the accent. I hope I still have an Australian accent. So I was a high school teacher in Australia and, you know, brought up in a Christian home by parents who really taught me the importance of biblical authority, that you don't undermine the authority of the Word of God. And when I started teaching, I had students who told me that, you know, how can you believe the Bible when we know it's not true because of what was in their textbooks in regard to evolution and millions of years? And I realized that was a big stumbling block to them. And so I started to teach them critically how to think, not just what to think, but how to think correctly about science and the past and origins. And I was asked to speak in churches at Bible studies and even to give sermons from the pulpit. And when I started talking on the book of Genesis, I found out that a lot of people in the church didn't really understand why it was important. They didn't know that Genesis 1 to 11 was the foundation for everything, the foundation for all doctrine, the foundation for the rest of the Bible, the foundation for your biblical worldview. I mean, if you want to talk about gender or marriage or any of those sorts of issues, you actually have to start with Genesis 1 to 11 because there's the foundation that God gives us for gender, for marriage, for everything, in fact. And so out of that grew a ministry called Answers in Genesis Today. It started in Australia in our home back in 1977, actually. But it's an apologetics ministry where we want to equip people to defend the Christian faith against the secular attacks of our day, to be able to have answers, to be able to help their children raise up godly offspring, and also to understand the importance of standing on God's word right from the very beginning. And as a part of that, I always had a burden to build a creation museum, which we did here in Northern Kentucky and opened in 2007. And we've had millions of people go through the creation museum. And then in 2016, we opened our second attraction, the Ark Encounter, life-size Noah's Ark. In fact, you can see it behind me. And thousands of people pour in every day. And they're the two leading Christian-themed attractions in the world. And they're filled with exhibits that actually do what I've been saying. They apologetics exhibits, if you like. They give answers, you know, how could Noah get the animals on the ark? And why does all this matter anyway? And what about the ice age? And what about climate change? And what about dinosaurs? And so it goes on. And so we have these apologetics, if you like, attractions that are family friendly, the quality of Disney, actually I'd say better than the quality of Disney. And we have all sorts of other things associated with them, but it's all to equip generations to defend the Christian faith, to help raise up godly offspring and challenge non-Christians concerning the truth of God's word and the saving gospel.
Talk a little bit about the name behind the curriculum for people who might not know what 12 stones means.
Well, you know, just to show you, for instance, that's just one of the items just for the kindergarten. And that is, you know, we have teacher books, we have activity books, we have the student books and so on. And it's a true curriculum for Christian schools. And we call it 12 Stones Bible Curriculum. So why 12 stones? Well, it comes from the account of Joshua. You know, when Joshua crossed the Jordan River, and it was a miracle. And the Lord told Joshua to get people to go into that river that was dry when they crossed it, because normally a fast flowing river. And to get 12 stones and then build a memorial, of 12 stones. Why? So when your children ask in time to come, what do these stones mean? You will not forget to tell them. And then it goes on and also says, and so that the world will know. In other words, make sure that you pass on that spiritual legacy to the next generation. Make sure that you teach them who God is. Make sure you teach them the truth of God's word. And in doing so, make sure you impact the world. Don't let the world impact you. One of the things you notice with the Israelites, the next generation actually rebelled against God because the fathers didn't teach them the truth. And instead of them impacting the culture, you know, Jeremiah said to the people, you're there to influence them, not them, you. You look at what happened to the Israelites. They let the pagan culture influence them. They adopted their pagan religion, their idolatry, their child sacrifice, and so on. I believe the same thing has happened today because as Christians, we are to raise up godly offspring. you know, in a way, when we built the Ark, and you can see the Ark behind me, when we opened the Ark in 2016, I said to everybody, I said, the Ark is our 12 stones, if you like. And we actually had our board members lay 12 stones. Why is it our 12 stones? It's to be a reminder to pass on the truth of God's word to the next generation. Families, bring your children, and we'll help you equip them so that you raise up godly offspring, which is one of the primary importances of marriage, to raise up not just offspring, but godly offspring. Pass on their spiritual legacy. And is to be a sign to the world, to tell the world God's word is true. And we even have a lot of non-Christians who come to the Ark. And it's created quite a lot of interest around the world, because there are flood legends in cultures all over the world. So Noah's Ark is very well known. And so it's really like our 12 stones. That's why we call the curriculum 12 stones. We want to help parents. We want to help teachers, the teachers in Christian schools. Less than 6% of Christian schools teach a true biblical worldview. We have our own Christian school called Answers Academy, which is very unique because we're teaching a true biblical worldview starting from the Bible in Genesis 1 to 11. And it's a discipleship school where parents have to be intentional about wanting to raise up godly offspring, to have that true worldview and equip them with apologetics to defend the Christian faith. Most curricula, if you look at it, most Sunday school curricula, homeschool curricula, Christian school curriculum, when it comes to the Bible, it's very shallow, more Bible story oriented, as I mentioned earlier. It's not teaching apologetics. It's not teaching true biblical worldview starting from God's word in Genesis 1 to 11, not equipping them ready for the world they live in. But see, when you start from the right foundation to teach a true biblical worldview, you're going to deal with every issue. It doesn't matter what the issue is. And, you know, it's like when people look at the world today and they say, but look at all the problems we got, you know, the abortion issue, the transgender issue, the euthanasia issue, we've even got pedophilia issue. I mean, how do we deal with all these? Well, the point is they're all symptoms of one problem. The problem is they've got the wrong foundation of man's word. We've got to give them the right foundation of God's word. And we need to be raising up generations in our Christian schools, in our home schools, in our churches, in our Sunday schools, Bible schools. We need to be raising them up with that right foundation, teaching generations to two things, I would say, big emphasis, teaching them to think foundationally. In other words, your thinking just doesn't come out of the air. It has a foundation in God's word and back to Genesis 1 to 11, and equipping them with apologetics. 1 Peter 3:15, always be prepared to give a defense or answer. And the word defense or answer comes from the Greek word apologia, from which we get a word apologetics, preparing them with answers to give reasons for what they believe, and with gentleness and meekness, courageously, boldly, but in the right way. And so that's what it's all about. That's what this curriculum is all about.
All right, Trey, thanks for that conversation there with Ken Hamm, as we said at the top there. You can check out that full conversation on this week's episode of Faith versus Culture on the CBN News YouTube channel. All right, that's going to leave us with time on the podcast for one last thing.
Yeah, we have another verse here on the unborn, Jeremiah 1:5. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appoint you as a prophet to the nations. Obviously, specific scenario there, but very clear that God knows us before we're even formed in the womb. So yeah, we know he knits us together in the womb, as we talked about earlier this week, but another powerful verse.
Yep, absolutely. And there's many verses talking about the womb, us in the womb, God forming us from our, you know, very beginning days. So very, very clear language there in scripture. Appreciate you bringing that one today. And as always, get on over to cbnnews.com, faithwire.com for more news from a Christian perspective. Lord willing, and that creek don't rise. We'll see you back here tomorrow. God bless.